touchdown. This felt like an easy six. Defense is retreating quick. No, I got that cannon on me and receivers on the whim. Welcome pressure, where's a blitz? Not afraid to take the risk. Swear to God, I hate to lose, but winning is my
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Drop Balls Podcast, your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. Yes, you heard me right. I said your favorite podcaster's favorite sports podcast. Hope you all are having a good week so far. I'm dropping this episode on a Friday, so that means we already had Thursday night football, so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Before we get started, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go down to the ratings and review section and leave your boy a 5-star rating. And if you want to leave a review, leave your boy a review. Hopefully it is positive, but go ahead and leave your boy a 5-star rating. So that way, you know, this podcast can reach more people. It can reach, you know, it can move up the charts on Apple and just reach a lot more people. Please leave a positive review. Let me know what you think about the show, what you like, what you dislike, what you want to hear more of, and maybe what you don't want to hear so much more of. And if you listen on Spotify, please be sure to go ahead and leave your boy a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Yes, Spotify does have a rating system, so please go ahead and leave your boy a 5-star rating on Spotify. And then no matter where you're listening, with whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts, please be sure to share the podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, anybody you know that loves sports just as much as you and I do. Now, let's get into this episode, man. You know, last weekend I was in Arizona. I was in Phoenix, Arizona. I went down there. I was able to watch the fight, you know, Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. I went to the Suns game versus the Houston Rockets on Sunday. And yeah, so like let's talk about the Anderson Silva versus Jake Paul fight first. Anderson Silva got robbed. Now, I understand Jake Paul dropped him in the 8th round. In the final round, he dropped him and, you know, whatever. But the whole fight, Anderson Silva was really like, he was the aggressor. He was landing the bigger punches. And he was, I mean, for the majority of the fight, he was the one in control of the fight. So I don't understand how the judges scored it unanimously for Jake Paul. I really don't get it. I think that Anderson Silva got robbed. And I think, you know, this is just really, you know, this is for Jake Paul. I don't know. It just seemed rigged. It seemed hella rigged. But I mean, it was a good fight. I will say if watching that fight, you can tell Jake Paul is progressing as a boxer. Now, I still don't think that he'll reach the level of being able to fight Canelo. I know he called out Canelo during that fight. He's not ready for that. And I don't think he'll ever be ready for that just because Canelo's been doing this his whole life. Jake Paul's been doing it for the past 5 or 6 years. So I don't think he'll ever reach that height of stardom. That height in the boxing profession to be able to fight a person like Canelo Alvarez and be competitive in that fight. I think he gets stopped, and I think he gets stopped early in that fight. There's levels to this, you know, there's levels to this. Now, Anderson Silva, that was some good competition there. And even then, like I said, Jake Paul looks like he's gotten better over time. But even then, Anderson Silva, who came from UFC, was still giving him the business. He was still working him. And I don't understand how anybody watching that fight could sit there and seriously say Jake Paul won that fight. I don't get it. I really don't get how he was the winner. It baffles me. But then that Sunday, I went to the Suns and in Rockets game. And, you know, it was a really good game. You know, we sat and we had some good seats. And the Suns just dominated that game, man. Like, and I understand the Houston Rockets are very young, but the Suns just dominated that game. Like, the Suns looked really good in that game, and it's the Houston Rockets, right? But the Suns have, I think they're on like a 4-game win streak now or something like that. But they did their thing. Chris Paul, he had like 13 assists, Devin Booker had like 30 points. You had Cam Johnson, who was just lighting it up from three. Mikal Bridges was doing his thing as well. And DeAndre Ayton didn't even play. He was sitting on the sideline. He didn't even play. So they did their thing, man. And I'm still – the jury is still out for me on Jalen Green. I understand he's athletic. He's very talented. But he's just way too inconsistent for me. So the jury is still out on him. He has these flashes. But then at the same time, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if you were really deserving. I believe he was the number one or number two overall pick. I still don't know if he was really deserving of that. To me, he doesn't quite look like it. I mean, we see Paolo for the Orlando Magic, and he looks like he should have been the number one pick. We see Jalen Green, and it's like, for me, you know, that's just for me. Other people may think differently, but for me, seeing it in person, I'm just not sold on the product yet. I'm not sold on the talent. Well, I guess the talent's there, but I'm just not sold on him at the professional level, I should say. Just way too inconsistent for me. But no, the Suns look like they're for real. I mean, we're only, what, 6, 7, 8 games in? But they look like they're for real. They look like it really looks like they're trying to get back to the NBA finals. Like, everybody's goal is to get to the finals and win the finals, but it looks like they're really, like, they're on their way back. That's how it looks early on. Now, a lot of things can happen at this point, injuries, whatever, it could happen, but they look like they're really trying to get back to that point. And then you have the Golden State Warriors, who they just lost to the Orlando Magic Thursday night. They lost to my Miami Heat. I believe it was on Wednesday. You know, they're on a 4-game losing streak. And I think they are like 3-6 right now. They were 3-2 before this little stint that they had. And now they're on 4-game losing streak, 3-6. Steph Curry went off. Steph Curry had 39 and I think 9 assists and like 3 rebounds. Steph Curry did his thing. Klay Thompson, I think, had like 24 or something like that. Together, they had made like 17 threes. So I don't understand what the issue was with the Golden State Warriors. I didn't watch the game tonight or on Thursday night against the Miami or the Orlando Magic. Damn, I'm just messing it all up. I didn't watch that game, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm a little confused on what's going on. We got college basketball starting up soon. The NBA on Monday, because I think Tuesday is the Monday, I think the 7th, because I think Tuesday, the November the 8th is, you know, is voting day. So that Monday, there's 15 NBA games and they're all free on the NBA app. So if you don't have the NBA app or whatever, go download it. So that way you can watch the games on Monday. I think some are on TV, but like I said, every game is free on the NBA app, and then there's no games on Tuesday because they're encouraging people to go out and vote. So there's no games on Tuesday. So y'all go vote. Go do your thing. Go do your due diligence. Go research the people that you're voting for to make sure you're voting for the right candidate. I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Independent, whoever. Just be sure you're doing your research and you're comfortable with the person that you're picking on that ballot. Just that's all I'm going to say. Do your due diligence before you go out there and vote. But let's get into the NFL, man. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL. As y'all know, and I haven't even given my opinion on it. I haven't dropped the episode in a while, so I haven't even given my opinion on it. As y'all know, the Colts benched Matt Ryan, and they decided to start Sam Ehlinger. And man, there's a lot of stuff that's happened with my Colts since the last time I dropped the episode. And you know what? Let's get into that first. So they fired Marcus Brady, who was the offensive coordinator. They traded away Nyheim Hines to a Super Bowl contender in the Buffalo Bills. Nyheim, I believe, also wanted to be traded because he's been frustrated with the way that he's being used in Indy. Like, he's not really being used, right? So he's been frustrated with that, which rightfully so. Like, I think he deserves to go out there and be on a team that is a legit contender and where he could possibly win him a ring. So I'm happy for Hines. I'm happy for him. Now, Marcus Brady, in my opinion, he was the scapegoat. I don't think Marcus Brady has been the one calling plays. And even with the game plan, usually the whole coaching staff, the offensive coaching staff, including the head coach, they put together the game plan. And then on Sunday, either your head coach or your offensive coordinator is executing. And I think that they put together the game plan, and I think Frank Wright is the one that's calling the plays. And I don't think that Marcus Brady was, I don't think Marcus Brady was calling the plays, but he's the scapegoat. So now we're going to see Sunday, you know, was it really Marcus Brady or was it really Frank Wright? Because if that play calling looks the same on Sunday as this looked the rest of the season, then we know who it is. We know who the issue, not the issue, but we know who this is on. But yeah, Sam Ehlinger got the start last Sunday against the Washington Commanders. I like to call them the Commandos. Some people call them the Commodores. Some people call them the Commies. You know, whichever you prefer, right? It's really whatever you prefer. That's what you call them. But Sam Ehlinger got the start against the Washington Commanders. And me personally, while I think he probably missed a couple passes, I think he played extremely well. Besides the fumble, I think Sam Ehlinger played extremely well. He pushed the ball downfield. I believe he took like maybe three or four deep shots. Two of them, or they were pretty much all to Alec Pierce, right? But even on those deep shots along the sideline, he didn't put the ball in harm's way. He threw the ball to a spot where only your receiver could get it. And if your receiver wasn't coming down with it, nobody was. And then he threw one, you know, took a deep shot to Alec Pierce, I believe it was either on the post, on a seam or whatever. And he just laid it right in there for Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce caught it, big play and everything. But the only mess up, in my opinion, was the fumble. The fumble in the red zone, that hurt us. I believe Jonathan Taylor also had a fumble in the red zone. And both of those hurt us. I think we would have won that game if that didn't happen. Another thing that hurt us was on, I want to say it was second down in the red zone. Michael Pittman, he ran a jet sweep. And had he kept it going to the outside, he probably would have scored. But I think he turned it up a little too soon. And it got us on the 1-inch yard line. And then we proceeded to run out of shotgun to hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. Quentin Nelson missed his block. And it got stopped on third and goal. And we end up kicking a field goal. Now, in my humble opinion, there's no reason to go shotgun there. You line up in single back. Put your quarterback under the center. Either we've seen this happen a lot of times. You motion your tight end, and as soon as he gets behind the quarterback, he pushes the quarterback into the end zone. We've seen it happen multiple times. Matter of fact, we just saw it happen on a Thursday night game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans, where Dallas Goedert motioned behind Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts hiked the ball. Dallas Goedert pushed him into the end zone. We've seen it happen. We've seen Travis Kelce do this. We've seen Dallas Goedert do this. We've seen multiple tight ends do this to help their quarterback on a QB sneak to get into the end zone. Or just hand it to your running back, your all-pro running back, and just let him run downhill and get into, either dive over the pile or just run through a freaking wall to get into the end zone. It's that simple, and I don't understand why we make things so hard. And not only that, like, okay, even if you're going to run out of shotgun, right, at least spread out the defense. I think they were in, I want to say, 12 personnel. We had two tight ends, a running back, the quarterback, two receivers, and then we had our five offensive linemen. So, yeah, we was in 12 personnel. So, everybody's bunched up on the line. The two receivers are out towards, I believe, the field side, and everybody else is on the line. So the whole defense, besides the two corners, are on the line of scrimmage. So not only are you running out of shotgun, but you did nothing to spread the defense out to actually give the running back some running lanes. And not only that, didn't Quentin Nelson whiffed on a block. So it got gobbled up right off rip. Like, there was no reason to do that. It was annoying. But we went on to lose that game because Taylor Heinicke worked some magic on the last drive of the game for the Washington Commandos. And he threw a nice ball down to Terry McLaurin, who just went up and got it over Stephon Gilmore. I honestly thought Stephon Gilmore had picked it off, and Terry just ripped it out of that man's arms, and they were down at the one-yard line. And then they just they got the ball into the end zone. You know, that simple. They did what they needed to do. And Sam Ehlinger, he tried to get us in field goal range for us to win that game. We lost 17-16. Michael Pittman dropped a big drop. Like, he had a big drop on the Colts' last drive that would have probably helped us get into field goal range and made it a lot easier for us. But, you know, that big drop. And it's not a pass that he usually drops. So I really don't understand what happened there. It was just maybe lack of concentration going across the middle. He probably thought he was going to get hit. I don't know, but it was just a lack of concentration, in my opinion. Jonathan Taylor, he ran 16 times for 76 yards, so it's not like he had a terrible game. Paris Campbell had one run for 28 yards. Nyheim Hines had 5 carries for 20 yards. Sam Ehlinger had 15 yards rushing. And that was another thing, you know, he was able to avoid pressure, and either there was times he was keeping his eyes downfield, or there was times where he looked to take off to run. So, I mean, I think he made some really good decisions with the ball in his hands, and he did what he needed to do. And it just so happens we weren't able to walk out of Indianapolis with a W. We were not able to get one. But, you know, it is what it is. This week we play the New England Patriots. We go into Foxborough. I don't know how this game is going to end up. This is only Sam Ehlinger's second start. We know how Bill Belichick does with young quarterbacks. This is going to be a tough game. This is going to be a tough game. But before we get into, you know, my weekly picks and doing all of that, I want to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into the weekly picks, and we're going to get into, you know, just even, I guess, the Thursday night game. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back.
No apologies. I know my pops would be proud of me. Ain't nobody fucking with me that I can see. Bitch, I'm a leader. This ain't no democracy. Ain't no stopping me. No apologies. I don't do layups. I took a 3. You niggas can fuck with a rookie me. I might take a bitch if you look at me. But I ain't giving no apologies. I know my pops would be proud of me. Ain't nobody fucking with me that I can see. Bitch, I'm a leader. This ain't no democracy. Ain't no stopping me. No apologies. I don't do layups. I took a 3. You niggas can fuck with a rookie me. I might take a bitch if you look at me. But I ain't giving no apologies. Niggas artificial. I'm a beast, nigga, need a damn cage. Who is these niggas? Clear the damn stage on a rampage to the last days. Boy, they hold them back like a bad grade. I be in the gut like a band-aid. And you know what's up if you lurk wrong. We gon' lift them up like a church song. Ooh, bitch, I am him, true. Bitch, I'm big Q, I got juice. She give me top roof. See these niggas be mad, they less than. Till I put on their songs, proof. Ain't no hating, I'm just being honest. All this shit that you want, I done got it. They know me when I walk in the door. Mr. Henley be making deposits. 40K and this 40 be on me. Ain't no telling what's up in my pockets. Niggas jealous, I know they was watching. All my life I've been turning to profit. 7-1 if I stand on my wallet. Bitch, you know I'ma go, ain't no stopping. And I ain't giving no apologies. I know my pops would be proud of me. Ain't nobody fucking with me that I can see. Bitch, I'm a leader, this ain't no democracy. Ain't no stopping me, no apologies. I don't do layups, I took a 3. You niggas can fuck with a rookie me. I might take a bitch if you look at me. But I ain't giving no apologies. I know my pops would be proud of me. Ain't nobody fucking with me that I can see. Bitch, I'm a leader, this ain't no democracy. Ain't no stopping me, no apologies. I don't do layups, I took a 3. You niggas can fuck with a rookie me. I might take a bitch if you look at me. But I ain't giving no apologies.
All right, so we're back from that quick little break. I hope you all enjoyed that song. That was my boy VZ. Y'all know I have his music on here every now and then. That was called No Apologies. He's also the one that did the intro. But yeah, that song right there is called No Apologies. Make sure y'all go check my boy out, VZ, V-E-Z, or V-E-E-Z-Y. Go check him out on YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, you know, all of those places. Be sure to go check him out. But anyway, let's talk about the Thursday night game a little bit. The Philadelphia Eagles were playing the Houston Texans. The Eagles won 29-17. Now, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, well, the Eagles won, they're 8-0, and that's cool. You know, they did their thing. They deserve to be undefeated. But some of these games are just a little too close for comfort. Like, when you're going against the Texans, I expect you to blow them out. I don't expect you to be in a close game with the Texans. And for most of the game, it was a very close game. Through, what was it, three quarters, it was 21-17. So, like, it was a really close game. And, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, they scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. They had a touchdown. Then there was, I think, an offsides penalty on the extra point. So they ended up going for two. They got that. But it's just one of those things where you don't expect the Texans to be in the game. And after the Texans just gave up about 200 and something yards to Derrick Henry the week before, you expect Philly to go out there and run the ball a little bit better than they did. Now, they did average 4.6 yards per carry. They ran the ball 31 times. I just would have thought they would have had more rushing yards. They only had 143. Jalen Hurts, he was pretty, you know, efficient. He was 21 for 27, 243 yards and two touchdowns. A.J. Brown had a touchdown. And then I believe Dallas Goedert had a touchdown as well. Dallas Goedert had like 100 receiving yards. So he did his thing. You know what? One thing I will like to say as well, Davis Mills is not it. Now, last year, I know I said a couple times that I think Davis Mills could be the quarterback of the future for the Houston Texans. After this season, Davis Mills ain't it. He's not it for them. I knew Philly was going to win today, but yeah, Davis Mills is just not, he's not it. He had two interceptions today. And one of them just was like, I didn't see the second one, but the first one, it was like, what the hell are you doing? Where are you throwing this ball to? Why did you throw the ball there? You had no receiver there. So what were you looking at? So I really don't. Yeah, he's not it. We know Houston will probably take a quarterback next year. I mean, they have to. They have to take a quarterback next year in the draft. It's only right. it's only right. But anyway, let's get into these picks, man. Let's get into these picks for the week. The Eagles already won. I had them, you know, this week as well for week 9. Then we go look at the next game, the Lions versus the Packers. They're in Detroit, and I actually have the Lions winning this game. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to get it done. But I have the Lions winning this game. The Lions can score with anyone. Now, as far as their defense is some Swiss cheese. But they did just fire their defensive backs coach. So maybe that changes a little bit. I don't know. But they have everything you need on offense. They have the offensive line. They have the receivers. They have the running back. I guess the quarterback is the only issue. But even the quarterback has been playing pretty well this season. So I don't know what it is on why they keep losing games. I guess it may be the defense or maybe some inconsistencies on the offense. But I think they put something together this week and they go out to beat the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers haven't really looked that good. And if y'all remember, I picked the Minnesota Vikings to win this division. And that pick is looking pretty damn good right now. So I got the Lions beating the Green Bay Packers this weekend. Then we have the Bills versus the Jets. I like the Bills to win this game. I think they're playing some of their best football right now. Their defense is legit. Their offense can put up hella points on you and kind of just suffocate you. So I like what the Buffalo Bills got going on right now. So I'm picking the Bills over the Jets. Then you have the Panthers versus the Bengals. I don't know what to make of this Bengals team. And I know the Panthers aren't really that good either, but I like the Panthers to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati. I know that's a crazy pick, but I like the Panthers to beat the Bengals. I like that pick against the Cincinnati Bengals. Then we got the Dolphins versus the Chicago Bears. The Bears are coming alive a little bit more. Justin Fields is looking a little bit better. He's using his legs. He's getting the ball downfield to his receivers, you know, a little bit. He still doesn't have protection, but he just looks like he looks a little bit better than what he was last year. And then you just add a new weapon because they just traded for Chase Claypool. They gave up a second round pick to get Chase Claypool from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so now he has a new weapon to throw the ball to outside of Darnell Mooney. And I think Claypool actually helps Darnell Mooney because Darnell Mooney, he's not a number one. He's getting guarded like a number one, but he's not a true number one receiver. And I think Chase Claypool can take some of that pressure off of him. And so, yeah, I like the Dolphins in this game. Tua is doing his thing. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they doing their thing. And that's a really hard offense to stop. Mike McDaniels has done a phenomenal job with that offense and helping Tua progress and get the job done, essentially. So I like the Dolphins to beat Chicago this week. And then we got my Colts versus the Patriots. I told y'all I really don't know what to expect because it's Bill Belichick against a young quarterback in his second start of his career. You know, his short career. He's a sophomore, or this is his second year in the NFL. And he's only started, this will be his second game that he's starting. So I don't really know what to expect, but I don't think Jonathan Taylor plays this week. I think we get Deion Jackson back there. We do have Zach Moss as well. So I don't understand that trade, but I will say this: Zach Moss, he is a pretty good pass blocker. I guess that helps as well, especially on third downs. He's a pretty good pass blocker, and he can run in between the tackles. He's a kind of like a physical little running back, a bowling ball, if you will. So maybe him and Deion Jackson get the boatload of the carries this week. But I think the Colts beat the Patriots this week. I know the Patriots want some get back from what happened last year, but I think the Colts figure it out. And I think they beat the Patriots this week. They said we're not tanking. They said we're not tanking. We're not waving the white flag. So this week will be very telling. It'll be very telling on if they're for real or if they're lying. But I got the Colts winning. I'm gonna stick with my Colts, man. I'm gonna stick with them. Then we got the Chargers and the Falcons. The Falcons are number one in the NFC South. They are leading the division. And they go, the Chargers come to or go to Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. And I got the Chargers winning this game. I don't know how they're going to do it. They are riddled with injuries. But I don't know. I like the Chargers to win this game. The Atlanta Falcons, they're playing pretty well. So maybe it doesn't make sense for me to pick the Chargers, right? It probably doesn't make any sense for me to pick them. But I'm going with the Chargers. I'm just going with my gut. Could be wrong, though. Could be very wrong. Then we got the Vikings versus the Commanders. And I like the Vikings in this game. The Commanders are coming off a, what, two-game win streak. They beat or three-game win streak, my bad. They beat the Chicago Bears. They beat the Green Bay Packers, and then they just beat us. I don't think they deserve to win that game. They stole that game from us, or we gave the game away. We gave the game away. They did do some things they needed to do, on, like I said, on offense, when they needed to play. They got to play when they needed to. When Terry McLaurin was needed, he got it done. In the fourth quarter, with, you know, like maybe 50 seconds left, he did what he needed to do. Went up and got the ball, took it from Stephon Gilmore, and got his team into, you know, scoring range. So I'm not taking anything from him or from the Washington Commanders, but I honestly think we did give that game away, and you know it is what it is. But I think the Minnesota Vikings are a better team. They just traded for T.J. Hockenson, the tight end out of from the Detroit Lions, which is crazy that Detroit traded them within the division. But whatever. So they got T.J. Hockenson. You have Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, K.J. Osborne. Irv Smith Jr. is on IR right now, so he's going to be a non-factor. But then you also have Dalvin Cook. I just think the Vikings have too much firepower for the Commanders' defense, and I think they're going to be able to win this game. Then we go to the Jaguars and the Raiders. The Jaguars are at home taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, I don't think the Raiders have really found their identity. I don't think they are really a good football team right now. And I like the Jaguars to win this game. I like the Jaguars to handle business at home against the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Jaguars to win this game. I just can't see any outcome that allows the Raiders to win this game. It could happen, but I just can't see it. I can't see it. Then we got the Seahawks versus the Cardinals. And I told y'all before the season started, I said, I think the Seahawks are a lot closer to their rebuild than people give them credit for. I can pull the clips. I keep the receipts. I can pull the clips. But I said that they're a lot closer to their rebuild than people give them credit for. And right now, I do believe they are ahead in the NFC West, and they are 5-3. They're 5-3, you guys. So they take on the Arizona Cardinals this week, and I think the Seattle Seahawks will actually beat the Arizona Cardinals. Their rookies are playing very well. Tariq Woolen, the cornerback, 6'4" corner, amazing footwork. He's fast, he's athletic, he's long, he's lanky. Man, he's just been playing out of his mind. He could sneak up and steal defensive rookie of the year. He really could, because he's been playing that well. So I got the Seahawks beating the Cardinals. Then we have the Rams versus the Buccaneers. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with the Rams. I really don't. They're not the same team that went to the Super Bowl last year. They don't look the same. They just don't look good. And so they're sitting at 3-4. And, I mean, Tampa Bay isn't really looking that much better either. They're 3-5. So I don't really know what to make of this game. But if I had to make a pick, I'm going with Tom Brady versus the LA Rams. I do know he wants his get back from last year. What was it? The divisional round or something like that. So I know he wants his get back from last year. And I'm taking Tom Brady over the LA Rams in this game. Let's see. What's the next game? So we got that. Then we got the Chiefs and the Titans for the Sunday night game. I'm taking the Chiefs in that game. I don't really think I need to say much about that game. I mean, yeah, the Titans are playing well. Malik Willis will probably get his second start of the season, because I think Ryan Tannehill still probably won't be available. But I just don't think they have enough for the Kansas City Chiefs. I really don't. So I think the Chiefs end up beating the Tennessee Titans. And then on Monday night, we have the Ravens versus the Saints. The Saints did hold the Las Vegas Raiders to 0 points last week. They held them to a big fat goose egg. They beat them 24-0. But I just don't. The Raiders aren't the Ravens. The Ravens are a lot better team than the Las Vegas Raiders. I can't see them going out there scoring 0 points, and I can't see them going out there and losing this game. I'm picking the Ravens to win this game on Monday night, but we'll see what happens. Now we have the Browns, the Cowboys, the Broncos, the Giants, the Steelers, and the 49ers all on bye weeks. So, you know, they're going to get rest up. They're going to get healthy. I believe the 49ers are returning like 11 players after the bye week. So we know the 49ers are going to be healthy going into their next game against the Los Angeles Chargers. So we know they're going to be well rested for that. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. I can't wait to see that game. Listen, man. Usually the trade deadline for the NFL is very quiet, right? Like it's usually really quiet. But we had some trades this week. We had this week before the deadline, we had Bradley Chubb got traded to the Miami Dolphins, and getting traded to the Miami Dolphins, just gave him a new extension. I believe it was like 5 years, $115 million or something like that. So they gave him a new extension. We got Chase Claypool from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went to the Chicago Bears. We had TJ Hockenson get traded to the Vikings. We had William Jackson III get traded to Pittsburgh. What other trades went down? Give me a second, because I'm looking for these. I'm looking for these trades, because there are some other trades that went down as well. Hold on, who won the trade deadline? Let's look at this. I'm pulling up articles. I got to pull up some articles so I can let y'all know what was going on. Green Bay didn't make any moves. I think Buffalo got a really good player in Nyheim Hines. I think they're going to use him properly, and I think he's going to thrive in Buffalo. I really do think he's going to thrive in Buffalo. I'm really trying to figure out, you know, some of these trades, because I don't remember all of them. Give me a second, y'all. We know CMC got traded. I don't know if I talked about that on the podcast at all, but CMC got traded to the San Francisco 49ers, and man, that proved dividends on Saturday, like, or on Sunday, my bad. That was very, like, what he threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, and had a receiving touchdown. So, you know, that was a really good pickup for the San Francisco 49ers, especially when they start getting healthy. Oh, it's going to be crazy out there. You also have Roquan Smith, who was traded to the Baltimore Ravens. You have Robert Quinn, who was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. So there were, oh, the biggest one of them all, I think, was Calvin Ridley being traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And if you did, if you say you did, you're a liar. Nobody saw that coming. Calvin Ridley was probably the last player that was on anybody's mind because, you know, he was suspended for the whole season because of the gambling thing. So that was crazy. That was crazy to see him get traded there. But, you know, I hope they don't get the deal done because I don't want Calvin Ridley in our division. Like, I hope they're not able to get a deal done. I hope that he ends up leaving after next year because he should be available to play next year. And I hope he leaves and, you know, just go somewhere else after the 2023 season. Just go somewhere else. Like, just leave. Get out the division. Who else had a big trade? I'm trying to see who else had a big trade. Oh, Jeff Wilson was traded to the Dolphins. Chase Edmonds went to the Denver Broncos. He was included in that Bradley Chubb trade. And yeah, I think those were only the only really big trades at the deadline. I think those were the only really big trades. But I think, oh, and Kadarius Toney got traded to the Chiefs and all of a sudden he's healthy now, but you know, it is what it is. That's just that. I'm gonna just leave that alone right there. But yeah, you know, it was a crazy trade deadline for the NFL. Probably the craziest trade deadline I've seen in my lifetime for the NFL. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But listen, that's all I have for y'all. I hope you all enjoyed the show. Hope you all enjoy listening. Now, you know, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, please check out my writing. I do write for the Indy Intercept. So please be sure to check that out. Also, every Tuesday, we host a show called Necessary Roughness with Stadium Rant. It's an NFL show. It's like a kind of like an NFL live show. I help produce the show. Meg is the host for the show. She also works with me on the Horseshoe Pride Twitter space. So she's my co-host for that show. But be sure to check that out. It's on YouTube. I will drop the link in the description so that way you have that. You all can check that out every Tuesday. Set your reminders, set the alarm so that way you know when we start a new video and everything like that. There's also a couple other shows on that YouTube page as well. So just be sure to check them out. Give us your support. Like I said, Indy Intercept, please check out the articles. We do a pretty good job covering the Colts and, you know, pretty much talking all things Colts. We're not the only ones with Stadium Rant, but we just write for Indianapolis. So there's some other ones out there as well that work through Stadium Rant for other teams. Like for the Jaguars, for the Vikings, just, you know, just other teams. But also be sure to follow your boy on Twitter at DropBallsPod. Go follow your boy on Twitter. I share all my articles, all my podcasts, everything there. So please be sure to go follow me there. But that's all I have, man. Y'all have a good rest of your week. Enjoy football and basketball this weekend. Enjoy college basketball I believe that starts Monday as well on the 7th. We just got sports galore. And if you're a Houston Astros fan, I hope y'all lose the World Series. If you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan, yeah. I hope somebody has to win, but I'd rather y'all win than the Astros win because I'm a Yankees fan. So forget the Astros. But anyway, y'all have a good rest of y'all week. Have a good weekend. Be safe out there. And until next time, peace.